Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
Oh, get buckets, Otto Porter.
On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Pep.
People have their opinions.
What other falsehoods are out there?
What, a lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369, the place to drop all of your voicemails, all of your text messages, anything you got for us. Matt, what's going on? Happy Friday to you. Figure we probably should kick the episode off with the latest news to Otto Porter Jr., who I didn't specifically expect him to be back anytime soon, but we got a little bit of an update. But before we get into all of that, what's going on? How are you doing?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? In a pretty good mood. Friday, weekend's coming, and Bears got a W last night to keep their season alive, so I was pretty happy about that. Especially, always nice to see, you know, a Cowboys loss on national television, so the, you know, insane level of Cowboy fandom and media coverage in this country can be, you know, embarrassed and disappointed. So, you know, enjoying the pain of others, and the others being Cowboy fans this morning. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. Maybe, I don't know how I feel about the Bulls potentially getting their first three-game winning streak of the season coming into tonight's game about the Warriors. Honestly, I don't feel great about it.
Well, you got to know that a John Paxson interview of some kind is coming next week, especially if the Bulls pick up a win here. So expect that and expect it sometime in the near future, I have a feeling, just with all the timing of if they pick this up, this win, and maybe pick up another win or two in the next week or so. So that's what I expect. But the funniest thing of it all is DePaul basketball is the best basketball team in the city right now. And honestly, I was working at the Score this past week, and we fielded 13 DePaul calls to the Bulls 2 and to the Bears 2. So that kind of tells you what Chicago sports is right now at this point. But shout out to DePaul playing at Wintrust Arena 9-0.
They're looking good. Who did they just beat to remain unbeaten? Texas Tech?
Texas Tech, yeah, who was in the championship last year, Jared Culver's team.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. So good for DePaul, man. You know, if it's not the Loyola Ramblers, it's DePaul, but it's certainly not the Bulls right now.
That's for sure. But let's get to Otto Porter real fast. So we found out, looks like Otto Porter is going to be shelved for a little bit longer than I think we all anticipated, but I don't think anybody was ready to say, okay, this is going to be the best news in the world and Otto's going to come back sometime this weekend. I think we still knew there was going to be a couple of weeks, but I think now we're in a point of unknown, sort of like where we were last year with Denzel Valentine, and he had an MRI, and I don't even know what, they give us some type of medical explanation for what's going on, but basically he can't put a whole lot of weight on his foot. They don't know if this is going to be a continued problem for him or not, but they said reevaluation in 2 weeks, but I expect Otto to be out, I don't know, at least a month, probably more than that. We don't really know at this point.
Yeah, it's kind of vague, which is not surprising. You know, the team's official press release about Otto's update said the MRI revealed a continued bone edema. I think essentially that's just what it means, is it's fancy doctor lingo for bone bruise. So the bone bruise hasn't healed as quickly as they'd hoped. And the rest of the PR release says, following a brief period of immobilization, Porter will resume a program of non-impact activities and targeted therapy. In addition, Porter will be evaluated by Dr. Bob Anderson. a foot and ankle specialist in Green Bay, Wisconsin, reassessed in 2 weeks. First of all, Dr. Bob Anderson, can you think of a more boring white guy name than Dr. Bob Anderson?
I'm not surprised he's from Wisconsin.
And I know, right? Of course it's Green Bay. God, I don't want my Bulls players going to Green Bay to deal with their injuries, but that is the same doctor who dealt with Denzel's injury last season. So, I mean, Bulls fans might look at that and say, oh, well, you know, this doctor's a hack, or the Bulls medical staff is a hack, and the way that the Denzel stuff went down, I'm assuming that the Otto stuff will be equally bad and confusing, and we won't know what's going on. You know, I guess it is what it is. I think I'm with you. Like, I'm not expecting to see Otto Porter back anytime soon, which is a shame because we know just how thin this team is at that wing position.
So with Otto out for the foreseeable future, not a whole lot of an update with Chandler Hutchison either, who continues to pretty much you just have to consider Chandler Hutchison out until further notice. I'm at that point because, you know, even when he came back, now he's just been out again. So all the injuries stacking up to the wings. What do the Bulls do at this point? Are we still going to, is Jim Boyle still going to ride with the three guard lineup and it is what it is and just ride out what they have this season? Or do you think the Bulls are going to look at maybe trying to trade? Or I don't even know. There's nobody even to sign out there. So I guess trade possibilities, if they are desperate to continue this whole path of, yes, we're still going to try to compete and win. I mean, you got to keep your guys satisfied, and I don't know if this three-guard lineup's going to continue to have any type of success, even when it does on the wins that the Bulls have had this season. So what do you expect? Same lineup to keep going out there? Maybe the Bulls decide to start engaging in some trade talks.
I mean, I don't know about trade talks quite yet, but I do know that obviously the wing depth was an issue when we came into the season. We knew it would be, and here we are. Because we said, dear God, if Otto Porter doesn't stay healthy, we'll be in trouble. And here we are. He's not healthy and we're in trouble. And we've seen, you know, these various three-guard lineups from Jim that are hard to watch, honestly. And an interesting idea that a lot of Bulls fans have, you know, put out there over the last couple of games when, guess who, Denzel Valentine, of all people, has gotten healthy and back into this rotation is, at least for now, try it out. You're still a well below 500 team. What's the harm in trying something new? Is putting Denzel in that starting lineup instead of Chris Dunn to help space the floor more around Zach and around Lowry. And we have seen the evidence, and we saw some, again, in their victory on Wednesday night, just how gifted of a passer Denzel Valentine is, in addition to being a guy who can knock down three-pointers for you. So, I mean, I would be opposed to trying that as a temporary fix in Otto's absence, but clearly, if this Otto injury lingers, then you got to figure something out more long-term, because the other real thorn in the side of this situation for the Bulls is that Otto has a $28.5 million player option next year, which I would be shocked to see him turn down, especially if he misses most of a season because of injury.
You're kind of stuck at this point, and this is kind of worst-case scenario. This is exactly what we talked about. It's like one of the only downsides to trading for him at the deadline last year. Obviously, it was a good deal at the time, but still, now you're locked up with all of this money, and worst-case scenario is playing out at least to this early portion where Otto just can't stay healthy, can't be on the floor, and it honestly kills the Bulls because we saw the success that they had last year when he was in the lineup and hoping to build off of that this year. And I mean, even if Otto comes back, say at the start of the new year, say it takes a month from now and he doesn't have to have surgery or anything like that, it's still going to take this Bulls team, what, 2, 3, maybe a month to try to get actually figuring things out, learning how to play back again with Otto back in the lineup. So, you know, even if he comes back right away, it's still going to take a couple of weeks to try to figure everything out. And that's best case scenario. So I guess my question is like, we're continuing to just kind of go with the flow and just do what the Bulls have on this roster, use what is on this roster, kind of hanging out in nowhere. Like, I know it's still a little bit early in the season, but at some point, this Bulls front office, this Bulls team has to pick a direction. Are you still going to try to compete? Still going to try to go for this playoff push? Or are you just going to wave the white flag and say, you know what, we got killed by injuries, bad starts by guys, this is going to be another rebuild type of year? When does that happen? When do we hear anything from anybody?
My God, doesn't that sound all too painfully familiar? I mean, how many seasons have we heard that?
This will be the third straight season.
Well, and you know, obviously nobody expected them to be good in their first year of the rebuild with, you know, LaVine missing more than half the season, rookie Markkanen, no Jimmy Butler, you know, like they starting over and they were expecting to be a lottery team. Year two of the rebuild, I think most rational people were still expecting them to be a lottery team and some had more lofty goals. Year three, which we're, you know, almost 25 games into right now, is when even those of us who looked at their talent on paper and some of the development and strides that we saw from the young players last season said, okay, it still might be a stretch, but this is the first year that you can actually realistically start to talk about contending for a playoff spot. And because the East is so bad, the season's a quarter over and at 7-14, 8-14, the Bulls aren't out of it yet. So I would, especially knowing how badly they want this rebuild to work, and that this is, you know, whether or not you believe it, what we've been told is like, this is the last one, this is your last chance. I would be surprised to see them pull the plug on this early, especially if, like right now, even though they're 6 games under .500, they aren't even 6 games out of the playoff spot.
It's sad. They're 2.5 games out of the 8th seed behind Orlando, and somehow Charlotte's 9-14. So I don't expect that to stay there and happen. But again, teams like Atlanta, who's 5-17, as soon as they get John Collins back, what Trae Young's doing too, I would expect to see some type of second half surge from them. So I don't know. I think the Bulls, though, they have a little bit of time here, maybe a few weeks, and maybe understanding how severe or non-severe Otto Porter's injury is going to last maybe impacts some type of move that they try to make. But I'm even thinking about it, too. If the Bulls want to compete and still add a piece here and try to fill that spot while Otto's out, Bulls don't have a whole lot to trade either. So I might be with you in saying, like, even tonight, like, you're playing Golden State. They're terrible. And you better not get your ass whooped on your own home court either by the worst team in the league after getting embarrassed when you went out West Coast last week. Stick Denzel Valentine out there and just experiment it. It can't hurt against the worst team ever, worst team in this league this year, and you just get your ass kicked a week ago by them. So what does it matter? But maybe Chris Dunn's earned more of a spot in the starting role in the eyes of Jim Boylan than Denzel Valentine has so far. But I mean, it's really flip a coin between those two guys, right? Unless you really need the offense in the first quarter.
Well, I mean, to me, it's like, it's just not so much about earn. And yeah, okay, Chris Dunn has embraced his role as a bench guard, and now because of injuries, he's a starting guard, but it's still the same, if not worse, player that we've always known. A guy who isn't really great creating on the offensive end. All he has is like a pull-up mid-range shot from the free throw line. He can't finish at the rim, and oh my God, when will this dude stop bricking threes? It is ridiculous. He's still, like, he made a couple on Wednesday night, so that brought his season total of made three-pointers to 9, all the while shooting 19%. He is still not above 20% as a NBA guard shooting threes. That is ludicrous. So don't talk to me about, oh, well, he creates 2 or 3 steals and extra possessions for you every night. His on-ball defense isn't actually that great. You know, it might be slightly above average, but to me, the eye test says it's average, and he also commits these ridiculously dumb fouls. So I don't know how Jim Boylan can say, oh, well, the steals and the defensive intensity. To me, it's not giving you nearly as much as you need to make up for the fact that he's a black hole offensively.
Depending on what kind of start the Bulls get off to, too, especially in like the first 4 minutes or so, kind of dictates the entire first quarter. So at that time, maybe like even if he continues to go with Chris Dunn, Chris doesn't provide you a whole lot of offense. Maybe you're not getting anything from LaVine or Markkanen. Maybe you see an early sub for Denzel, something like that, at least because Denzel's shown he can knock down some shots and given a little bit of extra minutes, a little bit extra run, maybe with some better units out there too, maybe being with the starters could maybe help, but I don't know. It's flip a coin between Dunn and Valentine at this point. It's still not the permanent solution that we're looking for. It's having to do this whole thing of, I guess we'll go to the hot hand. And really for Chris Dunn, for me, it's more important to see him close games, especially if the Bulls have a lead. If the Bulls are chasing, then I think I'd rather see Coby White out there because he's the dude that I think has shown us, at least early, the only dude that can get a shot up. So this, the whole starter thing doesn't really matter a whole lot to me. Unless the Bulls are off to a terrible start, they look sluggish, then maybe you need to do some early subbing. But still, this is, it goes back to the whole thing of this isn't a permanent solution. I don't really know where this team is going. And, you know, we're 2 months into the season and Jim Boylan still is playing different rotations, different lineups every single night, and he's kind of forced his hand with that because of the injuries.
Yeah, and I mean, some of it is because of the injuries, but I do also think that it, you know, obviously it would be nice if our, if fans watching this team could just know what to expect every night from a rotation standpoint. But we have seen some changes recently that are actually, in my opinion, good changes. Most importantly, he's playing his starters more minutes. Because, you know, for the first, you know, dozen or so games out of the gate, when he was, like, playing his starters and his bench the same amount of minutes, you know, you go and look at the box score and it's like, oh, LaVine played 29 and Archie played 27. And you're like, dude, what the fuck is going on? This is not how NBA rotations work. So the recent trend is there, save for Markkanen. And I know because I just went back and looked at this yesterday and I wrote about it for NBC, column that's up for Pecking Order this week. Markkanen's numbers of minutes per game are down over the span of the last six games compared to the first 16 games. But everybody else in that starting lineup, Wendell, Satoransky, LaVine, their minutes per game are up and up considerably from where they were through the first 16 games of the season. That is a change that I actually like. Because how do you let your starters get into a flow if you're playing them only half the game? And then as far as the Denzel thing, I'm curious to know if that was Jim Boylan deciding, all right, as much as I love my guy Shaq Harrison, we need some more offensive punch in the second unit, and that's something that Denzel can provide. Or if Jim Boylan was instructed to do that by his bosses. Because, yeah, Shaq Harrison's a gritty guy who, you know, can get his hands in some passing lanes and play some defense. But
you can't explain to your fans either coming out to this.
And a team that is struggling to shoot threes. And I mean, like, what does Denzel give you? He gives you the thing that the team is really struggling with
right now. You can't explain to your fans coming out to watch a game to how you start Shaq Harrison over, like you said, even if it is Denzel Valentine or Chris Dunn. How are you explaining that to the fans? Like, yeah, Shaq Harrison's getting the start. And three quarters of the fans that are sitting in the seats have no idea who even Shaq Harrison is. So like you said, maybe it is something coming down from other people within that, within their building. But another thing too that I was thinking about is the whole, you know, giving starters more minutes. I wonder if that's another thing too, just because it seems like that had been more of a conversation over the last 2 or 3 weeks among writers, people covering the Bulls, had been like, why the hell is the minutes so split up so evenly? So now all of a sudden we're seeing our starters play, but still there's one big question that we're not getting answered is Thaddeus Young. Why is he not, like, what was the point of spending all this money on Thaddeus Young if you're not even going to play him? I mean, the dude can't get into a flow, like kind of like you were talking about with the starters. Can't get into a flow when you're playing him maybe 2-3 minutes at a time and giving him 16 to 18 minute runs, and he didn't really have an explanation of why his minutes have been down recently either.
Yeah, I mean, he's averaging 21.2 minutes on the season. Last 10 games, that's dipped a bit to 19 flat. And earlier this season, we saw Jim Boylan closing games with Thad Young for large stretches of the fourth quarter instead of Lauri Markkanen. Now, okay, I get that Markkanen was struggling. But to me, adding Thad Young, who can give a young team a lot of the little things that maybe go overlooked and don't pop up in a box score, but just the veteran, not just like the veteran leadership and veteran presence, but like he just plays basketball the right way for the most part. He sets good screens. He can score inside. He rebounds for you. I mean, he's just like a basketball player, and it's nothing flashy, but I think it's something that they thought they saw this roster needed. But I mean, if you ask me who I would rather see out there in the fourth quarter of a game, whether they're trying to hold on to a lead or come back from a deficit, Thad Young or Lauri Markkanen, I'm going to pick the guy who I still think might actually have a future with this team beyond the next two seasons. And that's not a disrespect to Thad Young. I'm just saying, like, Jim closing with Thad Young instead of Lowry, I was like, I know Lowry's struggling, but to me, not giving Lowry minutes and preventing him from getting into the rhythm and flow of a game is way more egregious than doing that to Thad Young, who, let's be honest, has not been playing all that well in this recent stretch of games.
Yeah, I guess it's just a different expectation that we had for Thaddeus Young this year. I mean, I expected him to be a better rebounder than he's been. He's been a better three-point shooter than I thought he was going to be, but there's been times, man, where he's been trying to go one-on-one. He takes terrible shots, especially early on in the shot clock, but he's not the only dude to do it. Oh. He's not the only...
His ISO possession on Wednesday, you remember that one?
God. I don't know where these come from, man.
He like tried to do a spin move and it failed miserably.
So maybe that's part of the problem too. But again, like, you spent this money, and was this money just so you could bring some type of veteran into this team and replace Robin Lopez in a sense? I mean, was it worth the money? I guess we'll find out. But for Jim Boylan, it just goes back to the same thing. Like, I think it's important to think about this too, is I'm with you on the whole Lowry Markkanen needs to start, needs to close games as well. I'm totally with you, 100%. But then why did you spend all this money on a veteran trying to win? And why did you, you know, if that's the route to go, and whether or not the Bulls lose every game that Lowry Markkanen and Zach LaVine close together, and that's just the way that it's going to be that this season, fine. But I want to know that, and not Jim Boylan doing this whole thing of, all right, Lowry, you're going to close five games and then actually you're going to sit your ass on the bench and in closing minutes in two or three straight. It's like, again, just goes back to the whole theme of this Bulls team and this Bulls season is no type of direction, no consistency, have no really idea of what they're doing. But again, I'm with you with the Lowry marketing thing. Whether he struggles or not, he needs to be out there because we need to know what he is, especially closing games.
And, you know, just at least for tonight's game against the Warriors, that won't be an issue as far as who's closing, you know, whether it's Thad or Lowry or whoever, because Thad's out. That's another update we got earlier today. Thad Young has been excused by the team to miss tonight's game for personal reasons. And the plan is for him to meet the Bulls down in Miami for that game on Sunday. So, no Thad Young tonight, in addition to no Otto, no Hutch. So, yeah, Bulls are going to be a little thin. But, you know, maybe that means a little bit more minutes for Bulls' new favorite, Bulls fans' new favorite person in the world, Daniel Gafford. I don't know.
I'll take it. I mean, even if... No, you know what? It won't mean more minutes for Gafford. It'll just mean Luke Kornet's going to start to play again. So, which, sick. Yeah, I know.
I mean, if in Boylan's defensive system that demands that these bigs go away from the rim to try and guard guys out or like around the perimeter with this blitzing defense, so he's not blocking shots at the rim, which he showed he could do, at least at a mediocre level with the Knicks last season, and he's not knocking down his threes, what use do you have for a Luke Kornet?
Beats me. See, that's a great question. Other than to try and showcase that it wasn't a bad signing this summer, which we might see more of that come the near future if the Bulls' direction turns south. But I don't know. Again, this weekend, I know they have to play Miami, but this should be another win. The Bulls should have a three-game winning streak going to Miami, and hopefully they can build off of that. But again, we're kind of just shuffling our feet at this point, waiting to see how severe Otto's injury is. I think that really tells me what the direction of this team's going to be going in the next month or so. If he's out for long term, I think the Bulls need to change their plans for what they're doing with this rest of this season. And if he's going to be just short term, then you just hopefully you can scrape by 500 till he gets back. But
And
at some point, somebody needs to step up and stay healthy.
Yeah. And if they win tonight and they get themselves a little three-game winning streak, that's great. But, you know, I think it's important to constantly remind ourselves just how low the bar is right now compared to what the bar was that, you know, we were told. We were sold a bill of goods on media day. You know, we have this young team that we believe can compete and compete for a playoff spot. And you're 8-14 through a very soft schedule. The schedule only gets harder as the season progresses. And I mean, like, can you point to a single win in the eight wins that they have that was like, that's an impressive win? Like, okay.
Honestly, I can't.
After coughing up an 18-point lead to the Knicks, they beat the Knicks by 18. Whoop-de-friggin-do. I mean, you beat the Pistons twice. You beat the Hawks. You beat the Hornets thanks to an ungodly performance from Zach LaVine. And now you've beaten a shorthanded Kings team and a shorthanded Grizzlies team. What about any of that inspires confidence for this fan base right now? What about that should inspire confidence? For the most part, you're getting blown out by the good teams, losing to mediocre teams when you should be winning those games, and occasionally beating really bad teams. That's not a playoff team.
I think their two best wins of the season so far, the last-second shot by Zach LaVine in Charlotte, which, like you were talking about, coughing up leads, and then it was the win against the Pistons. Like, the Pistons are still considered one of these teams that are vying for a 7th or 8th seed in the playoffs, so that was a pretty decent win, but outside of that, it's been a whole lot of coughing up 4th-quarter leads and playing terrible defense at that, too. So, I'm with you. Like, the schedule to the end of this year, 2019, is going to be very difficult, and I think it's going to define this Bulls season. The Bulls play this Warriors team, but then they have to play the Heat, the Raptors, the Hawks twice, the Clippers, Thunder, Hornets, Wizards, Magic, Pistons. Out of all those games that I listed right there, Wizards and Hornets are probably two wins that you could probably book. But other than that, the Hawks are going to get John Collins back, and we're going to get a fresh look at John Collins twice now in the coming weeks. So, I don't know. Outside of that, those teams are pretty damn good. So, the Bulls are going to have a difficult end to the 2019 season. I think it's going to define the rest of the season.
I mean, I don't think there's any such thing as a booked win for this team right now. And I'm not trying to be overly negative or dramatic. I honestly think that you cannot book any wins for this team right now because of
You're right.
The production, and most importantly, because of this coach. You just, you know, unless we see more of a trend where Zach and Lowry continue to just say, to hell with this system, is not working, and do their own thing, and maybe ideally also play a lot more two-man stuff, and, you know, we see another step from Wendell, we see more improvement from Satoransky. Like, nothing about this team right now says you can book a win, regardless of who the opponent is.
We'll see tonight, this weekend as well. So, anybody going out to the United Center tonight, enjoy the game. Probably not the Warriors team you were hoping for when you bought the tickets, or I don't know, maybe it is.
Yeah, at least they can clap for old pal Stevie Kerr, right?
Yeah, that's true. So Warriors and Bulls tonight. Let's hope the last time we said this, we thought the Bulls would be able to book a win, but who knows? Throw your arms up, but maybe it'll could be a good performance tonight, and Zach LaVine or Lauri Markkanen or even Wendell Carter Jr. have a big game tonight. That would make me feel a little bit better about a 3-game win streak that doesn't thrill me a whole lot. So with that, I think that's gonna about do it here for Locked On Bulls. You can follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text and voicemails there. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back on Monday with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.